Hello, beautiful humans, and welcome back to the Society Says podcast, where we talk about pressure in society and what we can do to spread awareness and build each other up to live our own unique lives. If you want to be a part of this movement, then grab some snacks, maybe a drink, and keep listening, because on this podcast, we have some very real discussions. All right, welcome back to the Society Says podcast. I'm excited for today's video, or not video. I'm such a videographer. I'm excited for today's episode because I'm here with Miel. Fun fact about this new friendship, it started over Instagram.
Yes, I love Instagram so much. Oh man, it's honestly,
Instagram's turning into the new Facebook where you could just match with random people and you slide into the DMs and you realize, okay, I'm closer to this person than I am my siblings. Like, here we are.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Like, we met for the first time in person last night and it feels like we've known each other for a while.
Yeah, it's super weird. I came over today and I was like, why does it feel like I'm just going to hang at a friend's house and it's no big deal, and it's literally the second time we've ever hung out. So
yeah,
but it's nice. I don't mind.
Yeah. And I'm relieved that she came over tonight because, well, I'm going to admit it, everyone, I'm terrified of lightning, and there was a lightning storm tonight. And she's like, I'm on my way. I'm like, thank goodness.
See, timing is perfect. Honestly, I think the storm stopped. I haven't heard it since, I don't know, like, what, 2 hours ago?
It's been a minute for sure.
I haven't heard anything, but at least the rainfall's nice. It always smells good after it rains.
Oh my gosh.
It's my favorite thing about Arizona and the desert and everything. Just, yeah. Rain, we need it. But downside, it's raining here. So that means it's snowing where I'm moving to. Shoot.
Yeah, everybody, we made this friendship and now both of us are leaving Arizona and going in the complete opposite direction.
Wait, where are you going?
It'll be somewhere closer to the East Coast.
Wow.
Probably like Kentucky or something.
Super A. Good food though. Get that soul food. She's gonna come back thick. Like,
oh man.
I'm excited. You're gonna have better food than I am. I'm gonna be in, why don't, like, what is Utah even known for other than religious hate and bigotry? And mountains.
I mean,
and a bunch of snow.
I'm so sorry you're going to the cold.
Cold never bothered me anyway.
Although, to be honest, I have a feeling wherever I end up going, it's going to be colder than here. So
really? Well, you know what it is like? It's leading into summer.
Yeah.
So
it'll warm up fast.
Yeah, but like my thing that I don't like about anything that's Midwest towards the East Coast is how humid it is. I appreciate the West Coast because it's a lot more dry of a climate this way. So is that even the proper way to say it? It's fine.
Who knows? Guys, just to like set the tone for you guys, it's 10 p.m. and maybe that doesn't seem very late for some of you, but I don't know about Miel, but I stayed up till like 3 a.m. last night just like dancing and working and getting things done. And well, she ran a half marathon over the weekend like it was no big deal.
I'm still trying to catch up and I didn't train, so that's a lot of the reason why I need to take a nap. I'm just kidding. I call sleeps naps because that's about as long as I'm actually asleep. I don't know why it takes me forever to fall asleep. But yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Because I'm still working 2 overnights a week during the end of the week / weekends every weekend until I move next Friday. So
next Friday, that's crazy.
I have to conserve some of my energy, and you know, good old church kiddos, we're doing a Galentine's event on Thursday the 13th, but it's in between my afternoon shift and my overnight, so I'm not getting any sleep. Mm. When I say your girl is salty, you can call me the Morton Salt Girl. Like, oh, I'm done. I'm gonna be so mad. I like, okay, here's the deal. I'm pretty docile of a person when it comes to having like a lack of sleep or whatever, but like when something has been going on for too long, I just get frustrated. So like if I'm cold, after a certain point, I'm just mad that I can't calm my body and stop shivering. So when it comes to lack of sleep, most young adults are sleep deprived. Like, that's just grind culture in 2020. That's the way most young adults are. But I get mad past a certain point of a lack of sleep because I'm like, can I get 20 minutes? Yeah. It's 20 minutes. Just give a homegirl a good nap. Just one nap. And literally the last time I took a nap, okay, there's my job. It's a group home.
Yeah.
Across the street. It's a church building. I leveled up and stopped wasting gas because I live 25 minutes from the location. Leveled up and stopped wasting gas and I started napping in my car. And I leveled up even harder and I started napping with earplugs. Well, this last weekend, I was napping away like I usually do in the church parking lot. Super safe place, especially if you're traveling. Most, literally most churches don't care if you sleep in their parking lot because... What are they going to do? Rob the church? Like, what are you going to steal? A Bible? Good luck. Like, they don't care. This old man flashes me with a flashlight. And I had just for some reason gotten uncomfortable and like shifted and just fallen back to sleep. And I had a short window because I was working on podcast stuff that night from the car using church Wi-Fi. Just chilling. So he woke me up. And I was like, what? And I turned on the car, rolled down the window, and I was like, hello? And his headlights are facing my car. I can't see him, and I'm like, yo, what is going on? And then he comes back, and he's like, hey, I was just checking to see if you're okay. And I was like, yeah, I work across the street. I'm just taking a nap before my shift in, like, 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, yeah, my, like, and he was a super sweet guy. Like, I was just frustrated because, for me, it takes such a long time to, like, mentally calm myself down and physically relax to fall asleep. Because if I know I need to be awake, I don't sleep restfully. And especially because a lot of my shifts are back to back when I have day shifts and then following a night shift, I was salty, but at the same time I was like, well, you know, like he said, he's like, I always have a fear of finding a dead body. And I was like, oh, bro, gosh. On the one night I'm taking a nap, you want to see if I'm dead? You can see me. See, you see me sleeping in the car. Oh, bro, like, so he was the sweetest little grandpa too, and I was like, thanks. And I was like, I'm not gonna get, like there's a certain amount of sleep people need to get, and a certain type of sleep that they need to get to wake up feeling rested enough from that nap, and that wasn't it. So
yeah,
I was really, really, I had to listen and like listen to podcasts and like watch upbeat stuff the whole night shift to keep myself in a positive mood, because I was at that point where I was tired and wasn't sufficient with that little nap. Yeah. So I was just grumpy because I was just like, oh
my
no.
gosh.
That's anyways, the worst. Nice little story time for y'all today. Just hijack the entire conversation and tell you about an angry nap.
Can you hear the rain?
Oh, that's rain?
Yeah, I just realized
that's
that.
Soothing. I love that noise.
It is.
Ooh, well,
I hope there's no lightning coming.
I think you should be fine, honestly. They said it was going to rain from 3 p.m. until
I think morning
overnight. Yeah. So it's gonna be the reason why I like winter, at least I call it Arizona spring, is because the amount of rain that we get from like the residual snowstorms, wonderful, wonderful greenery after that.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Arizona needs it. So
yeah,
super happy about that. But yeah, no, it's all good. I like. Another fun story. I went to a friend's wedding. Is that an Airbnb?
An Airbnb?
Is that an Airbnb? Get this. In Cornville, Arizona.
What?
It's Cornville, Arizona. I was like, do they grow corn there? So I drove up. I had like an old beater car at the time, and it like barely made it up the mountain to like this place. But it was gorgeous. There was enough like... It's a dirt road, and then you get through this grove of trees, and it's, like, it's lush, it's green, there's a natural waterfall, and we were gonna camp outside, like, the guests. Instead of camping in tents, I opted to sleep in, a sleeping bag and a hammock by the waterfall. Let me tell you, it was freezing, I slept with two sleeping bags, but I never got any better sleep in my entire life than that night.
Really?
Because it was just so soothing.
Yeah.
And it was loud. So you listen to that, you just tune everything out, and then you wake up and it's like
whoosh,
and this like the creek noises down the way. I was just like, oh man, this is bliss. And the cool thing is they actually had some really good Wi-Fi service up that way.
Really? I wouldn't expect that.
Well, in that specific area, mega dead zone. So, like, the Airbnb owners had to offer Wi-Fi for this to even be, like, a lucrative spot. Unless you want it to be, like, a off-the-grid type situation. So
yeah, that's true.
There's that. But
dang.
If you ever want to go, Cornville, Arizona's got a nice little hidden gem. Cornville, Arizona. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. This is great. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I guess we should probably dive into this.
Yes.
We chose some lighthearted things today just because originally we chose topics last night that were just too heavy. We read them today and we're like,
that's deep.
No.
Not that like serious things don't matter, but like,
you have to be in the right mindset to talk about things like that.
I mean, honestly, I could probably still toss my opinion and make it something silly, but, we could talk about it on a different episode. Yeah,
it's good to have, like, good, lighthearted episodes, too. I don't always want to, like, dump really heavy stuff on you guys.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about today is still equally important to talk about. And we're going to kick it off with talking about confidence. Because if you guys don't know this already, which you should if you follow Society Says, this brand is to help people build confidence about themselves so that they can live their own life. So we're going to talk about confidence.
Ooh.
And I'm going to let you take the lead
with
this. You
want me to take the lead with this one? Lay shoot. Okay. Confidence. Well, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Cool. I'm excited.
Okay, so when did you realize in your young adult years, because we're both still very young, we're both, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not 26 yet, but we're 25 and unders.
Mm-hmm.
So not that you never really battle with confidence beyond those ages, but mm-hmm. that's when your confidence issues are most apparent.
Under 25.
Because from there, you start getting more set in your ways. You stop caring as much. Because at the end of the day, you're like, look, do you pay my, like, life insurance policy? You don't, then I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, when did you notice for the first time that you were sure of your confidence as a young woman?
Honestly, it was the first time I stepped on stage to dance. Really? I remember that moment. It was a huge moment for me because it was sixth grade. I had moved to the big city of Seattle in fifth grade.
Wow.
And it was just, I went from being like the it girl at school. Yes, in elementary, I was the it girl. I was like the cool, really cool chick that
Total
everybody wanted to be
stories
friends
here,
with.
But I love this. Continue.
And when I moved to the big city, like, I think I was just kind of done with it, and mm-hmm. I, like, went into this really shy, like, shell. I was always shy as a kid, but Big City really brought it out, and I went into this weird, like, emo kind of phase.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah, honestly, I was kind of proud of it. I got some purple streaks in my hair.
Oh, okay. Getting into the dye.
I did wear neon colors if I did wear colors. It was neon and black, like, combined. It was very interesting.
Were your teachers ever concerned with you?
No, because I was, like, a sweetheart, you know? So they weren't, okay. Like, I didn't act like I was, like, having issues,
yeah.
But I was weird.
It was, like, know. Hannah Montana level of, like, oh, she's just wearing neon. Good job.
Yeah, it was, and I was just very reserved to myself, but in sixth grade, I was like, I want to take a hip-hop class. And I took it, and we danced to Smooth Criminal for the recital.
Okay.
And I remember my heart was pounding before I went on the stage. I was like, I don't think I can do this. But once I was on there, I was like, holy cow, I just found my calling in life. And I walked off that stage, and I was like, I know what makes me happy and, like, who I am. It was crazy. And, I mean, I still, like, was getting over my shyness throughout
right.
middle school, but I at least felt pretty confident with, like, where I was going. And the more I got into dancing, like, I just was, like, cool with myself. And I
yeah.
knew who I was. And it continues.
That's pretty cool. That's so funny. Like, if I try to sit and think about a moment where I felt super confident,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a biter and be like, yeah, it was dance. But I think it was, for me, like, I grew up in a rural area, so we didn't have a lot of dance opportunities, but there was always, like, choir and band and sports. And
mm-hmm.
I wasn't ever good at sports. I loved singing, but I would, like, hear those moments where I was off key or, like, the vocal control wasn't there, so I just
mm-hmm.
didn't feel good. But I do remember when I was in fifth grade and I was in band with my little flute on stage, Jay chilling, the pride that it gave me that I had this skill that wasn't necessarily natural, but I earned it. And I remember what it was, which, and this is where, diving in. This is where I realized how much I based my confidence for a long time on feedback. But it was my music teacher who said, he's like, you were sitting on stage, and he's like, I mean, you pulled your flute up to your face to play. She's like, you sat up straight, all regal like a princess, and you played so beautifully, and blah, 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 blah. And I just remember thinking, wow, someone sees me that way, then, like, and, you know, like, it's kind of like that moment that every artist has when they're publicly or, like, live performing something. They have that blackout moment where you just do the thing that you know, were working on. And so, like, I had that moment on stage, too. I loved it. And most of the time, like, I glaze over the notes on the page because at that point, you've memorized it because you've practiced it a billion times. Same with dance moves.
Yeah.
You do the set over and over, and you just, you blank out, you do it, and then you're done, and you're like, yeah, you left every ounce of every moment of hard work up to that point and just left it there. And you're like, sweet, that makes me happy. So, back to the feedback thing. That was the loophole that made it this, like, this unsatiated, like, mindset behind my confidence, because I got into things like choir and dance and continued to do just pretty much anything creative that I could get my hands on. Like, I told you how I had, like, a little bit of a YouTube channel, and like, and now I've got this podcast started, and it's frustrating now because when you go into social media today, like, brands and any sort of project, if you don't have that feedback, if you don't have that community built, you kind of just flop. Like, you can put stuff out there, but it just ends up being like a personal journal rather than here's my manifesto to help people type thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of frustrating because you know that you're sure of yourself. You know that you, by the time you get to your 20s, you know what makes you the bomb.com. Like,
yeah,
you're the business, you're awesome, like, you're loving it, you can be yourself, but, like, you still have those moments where you're like, okay, but where's that feedback? Where's that validation that I am as great as I say that I am, and I am as amazing as I say that I am? And so it kind of sucks that, like, no matter what, there's always going to be that check-in to be like, okay, am I doing good? Am I who I say I am? That kind of thing. So it's just kind of funny. But no, confidence is great.
And it's crazy how much feedback really, like, it really messes with our mind. It makes us think about ourselves and I'm laughing, guys, because Miel is just, like, hitting and bumping everything.
Very mobile speaker.
Well, I put her in, like, this tight spot where she's, like, up against the wall and the desk. Like, she has, like, no space.
I'm doing all right.
But she's confident where she's sitting.
I am. I'm good. I scratched my back and I moved my bra strap and it popped. And if you guys heard that, I apologize. But sorry, you were saying about confidence and validation and feedback.
Yeah. it's crazy how your mind, even if you are a very confident person, it still can get to you, which is so annoying because I consider myself a very confident person and who I am.
Yeah.
But I still have moments where I'll post a video or put a project out and I'll get feedback from someone, just one person. And it's not even that rude of a comment, but, like, it makes me think, and, like, my brain, like, I think of it like two little Starias in my brain, like, fighting at each other.
The one with the hood and the Kermit memes. Love those.
And it's amazing to me that, like, even if you are a confident person, it can still, like, feedback can still get to you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Angel, I'm probably going to talk about Angel in every podcast, but
that's fine. Life is life.
He listens to Gary Vee a lot, and he always, like, reminds me, he's like, don't get too high on the highs and don't get too low on the lows. Like, just, you know, try to stay in the middle ground so that, like, you aren't brought down so hard when you do get, like, bad feedback from people. Yeah. You can just keep moving forward, you know?
Honestly, one thing that I thought of too was I'm kind of okay that there's something that makes me question my confidence. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there's absolutely nothing wrong with a good gut check to remind you that, number one, you're human. Mm-hmm. Number two, it checks you to remind yourself of your confidence. Because you can get very, like, disillusioned to the fact that, like, you're this great thing. Like, it puts your ego in check, mm-hmm. which isn't a bad thing. I know that it can be toxic. Kind of like how you said, like, you have to kind of find this middle ground. But so what if you ride your highs? Like, I love Gary Vee. But yeah. I'm young, whatever. Like, Gary Vee's in his level of understanding, and that's great. But for me, I am so much of a, like, emotional acceptance type person. I'm like, you know what, mm-hmm. if I have a low day, whatever.
Well, I mean, accept it, of course. Right. I'm not saying, like, push it into a corner.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, you know, like, whatever. Like, I'm gonna take it, yeah. and, like, you know, kind of like the thing, like, have your sad day. It doesn't necessarily mean pity party, because just because you're sad doesn't mean you're feeling sorry for yourself. Like,
yeah.
sad is just sad.
Yeah.
Sad is just sad. Heaven forbid you have feelings, you human. Like, no. But yeah, no. Any, like, even just in general, like, a case in point, like, I was talking to my friend and I re-recorded a podcast episode 4 times because once, like, literally one comment was, oh, I think it's too long. And I am yeah. that chronic person throughout my entire life. You talk too much. The only reason I started a podcast is because people kept telling me I talk too much. But on the other end, when I had a McDonald's drop, I swear, y'all who are listening, I swear that there's a purpose to all this stuff. But I had a McDonald's drop, and because all these people, their first interaction with me was my voice, I would get so many compliments. Wow, your voice is nice. Wow, you should go into voiceover work, or you should go into radio. You should go into broadcasting, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that example in and of itself is the reason why I was like, she might be right. I might talk a lot. So constructive criticism of it is, okay, for the next time I hop on, have a good outline, or just have good notes so mm-hmm. that I know to not get so off track or whatever. But at the same time, it's a podcast. That's You're true. Signing up to sit and listen. Mm-hmm. You're signing up to be in the moment with someone else's conversation or with someone else's train of thought. Yeah. And that's totally fine. And obviously, if I'm a talker, like, it's a gift that I was given for a reason.
Oh,
so instead
yeah.
of shutting up, have that confidence and be like, I'm a talker. So I'm going to make sure that I have something, like, good to talk about.
And most people that listen to podcasts, they listen because they want to find people that just will talk and talk about things. And like I said before, I was telling you that when I find a podcast, I love when it's like an hour long. I'm mm-hmm. like, heck yes, because I listen to podcasts because I want to hear people talk. And mm-hmm. like, especially if it's a topic that I really want to learn about or know more about, like, heck yes, please talk as long as you want to.
Yes, I get that. I super get that. Yeah.
But that is tough. It's crazy how just one thing can, like, make you reconsider, like, everything that you have done.
Yeah. So, Miel's word of wisdom for the day yes. has nothing to do with being LDS, but his word of wisdom when it comes to confidence is, don't shrink because someone tells you that what you're doing or how you're acting or who you are being is either difficult or some sort of slight inconvenience or whatever, if it doesn't benefit you. That's fine. Take it. Mm-hmm. Take it and run with it. And then just improve yourself based off of that thing. Not so much as, oh, I'm going to change myself and not do XYZ because so-and-so said XYZ sucks or mm-hmm. I suck in the XYZ thing.
Yeah.
No. What you do is, if you are super chatty like me, okay, great. Talk about things that matter. If you know you have a voice, now time, like, yeah, now at times, ooh, love that one. Nowadays, there's so many people talking, but they're talking about things that don't matter.
Yeah.
Or they're trying to talk about things that matter, but they don't know anything about those things. Yeah. So instead, if I know I have a voice, if I know I like advocating, if I know I like being the one who doesn't shut up, well, I'll make sure that I'm not shutting up about things that benefit others in yeah. the least. So be you. Do you, and confidence is objective, so don't worry about what other people say. You're welcome.
There you go. I love it. Yeah, it's so important. Like,
It's like the saddest thing in the world when I see people that don't think that who they are is like good enough. It makes me so sad. That and like puppies in movies, and they like the puppy doesn't make it. That's the one thing that will make me cry.
Oh, don't.
Those two things.
That.
Like, just please just love yourself and take care of your dogs.
I was like, yeah, if you guys want a dog, just go to a no-kill shelter. Or go to a kill shelter first. Save the dogs.
Save the
that
dogs.
Are going to get killed. Because the no kills, they'll be all right. You know, they got some volunteers. They go home with somebody. But yeah, there you go. Confidence. And infinite conversations on confidence. But
yeah.
It's what you make it. Mm-hmm. And the comments or the perceived norms and ideas that you get from whatever your culture is, wherever you fit into society, or if you don't fit into society, mm-hmm. it's whatever you make it.
Yeah.
So if you have a sad day, listen to this podcast and feel better.
And you know, the people that are making the comments, and everybody makes comments, like we are all those people that have feedback, and it just, a lot of it can stem from making assumptions and judgments.
Yes.
That like we don't know the person and uh-huh. what they're doing. Even if you do think you know them, like they're your best friend or your family member, I feel like there's always something that you don't know that's going on, because everybody keeps a little bit to themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody. And it's not like every day that you wake up, you tell people how your day is going and how you're feeling, you know? So you just don't know what. I mean, maybe Miel does.
It just makes me think. My biggest, and I didn't realize it until I got older, my biggest pet peeve is waking up, hitting a job at like 6 a.m. or something. How are you today?
Oh my gosh.
Yo, I just woke up.
Oh my gosh.
I woke up. I got here. I don't know yet. My day hasn't started yet. I'm breathing. I'm good. And it's like it's one of those things that you shouldn't be triggered
Let
by.
Let me tell you though.
But me as a 25-year-old woman, I'm like, you tell me, Susan. You just barfed on my shirt, and now I gotta change your... Sorry, guys, I work with seniors. Not that they all throw up on me, but I do have to help them with their personal care time to time. But it's just... And it's just force of habit, and that's one thing about old society, where it's just this constant regurgitation of small talk. Like, I'm sorry we've thrown into something negative, but my pet peeve is small talk.
I'm so happy right now because... Let me tell you why. I'm so happy because I found someone finally that understands my pet peeve for small talk. Like, I literally have tried to explain this to people. I'm like, I literally cringe and get so irritated when people say like, hey, how you doing? Or like small talk stuff where I know they don't actually care what the answer
right.
is. And I'm like, stop wasting your breath. Thank you like for trying to be nice, but like, ask me a real ass question, please. Thank you.
Oh man. But you know what? Here's the double end. Sometimes I have to check my ego because this feeds back into assumptions of, damn it, this is the one day they might actually give a rip about Miel.
Yeah.
How are you? Look, I showed up to work so my bills get paid. I don't really want to be here. I just want to be at home snuggling in bed. But beyond that, so I literally just tell people, I don't know yet. And that's my new favorite answer. And I'm okay with saying, I don't know yet. And I'll be like, we'll see. We're working on it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm good. Like, maybe if I had, like, a good night out before or something, that's fine. But one of the things I had to teach myself was, it's like that Bible verse, like, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Like, it might be that they don't give a rip, but thank God somebody takes 5 seconds to ask me, hey, how are you doing? How was your day?
That's why I feel, like, so horrible when in my head I'm, like, bubbling up. It's, like, becoming, like, a boiling pot in my head. And I'm
little
just,
green
like,
monster.
I'm horrible. Like, I'm so horrible for, like, hating that this person just asked me how I'm doing. I'm like, what kind of monster am I?
But you know what? I always say it. Everybody is basically, like, if I could think of a color for people, everybody's gray. And there's certain things that tip people towards dark gray or being black or leaning towards the lighter side. And I'm not, which sucks because so sorry, you're white and I'm black. And I don't mentally or like, I guess like the norm of black being signified as a
horrible color or like a horrible thing, because that's a lot of the reason why most children think black people are scary. Diving into race, we're gonna tie this in.
What a rodeo today. You know, we're doing a really good job at segueing our way through topics. I'm very proud of us.
We're still talking about assumptions, which, case in point, it's an assumption. If you aren't careful about the way that you reference things, it can lead who aren't as learned in the way of life to believe assumptions that aren't there. But yeah, essentially it's just like most people are gray. And there's certain things that tip the scales, because, like, you meet nice people and you're like, oh, they're so nice. I'm like, yeah, but everybody has a boiling point. Everybody has things that make them angry, or even the angry people can be loving and nice. Like, murderers have families too.
Yeah.
Murderers were once somebody's son or daughter or whatever. And people who are like Gandhi. I'm pretty sure Gandhi's gotten pissed off at somebody before. Like,
oh, heck yeah, he's human.
I almost made the most... big, like, a super bad assumption, like, hey, somebody made my curry wrong. And then I realized, I was like, wait, what is...
See? Like, we all
I don't remember where he's from. I forgot. But that's...
That goes to show, even when we're trying to be, like, do our best, like, we still make assumptions and judgments. Because, look, guys... we're all human. That's what we do. Like, you know, and like...
we were talking about this.
Like, you shouldn't feel bad right away when you make assumptions, because it's just how our brains work. And that's why we talk about stuff like this, so that we can work on it.
Exactly.
And, like, try to change our judgments into good things. You know, like, oh, heck yeah, that lady over there has some crazy hair, but hey, she's rocking it. You know, like, try to, like, switch it a little. Anyway, continue.
No, I was like, that's totally perfect. But that's kind of what... I was talking about earlier when we were just, you know, planning for topics and stuff, but assumptions and information gathering is just the way the human mind works.
Yeah.
But the reason why, and if you, to any listeners, like, if you don't believe in God, if you're agnostic or atheist or whatever, if you're a Satanist, pre-Satan, excuse me, I'm kidding. I watch Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and they say that. It's funny. Hopefully I don't, like, get in trouble for that with the big G, but no, just like, our divine design is so much so to the point where we learn based off of the world that we see and from the interactions that we see and everything related to that. So we can be mad that there's criticism and that there's judging and there's assumptions, but that's literally how, like, cerebrally, if that's even a freaking word, we gonna throw it in today. That's how we gather information. But I think the thing that frustrates society is the fact that we have literally these mini powered computers that we carry all day. I saw this quote on Facebook the other day. It's like, back then we thought that lack of knowledge was the reason why common sense and stupidity was, like, so prevalent, but now we have so much access to information and people are still stupid. And I don't want to say stupid as in, like, oh, someone doesn't know something. You can't get mad at yourself for not doing well or doing something that you quote-unquote should be doing if you never know.
Yeah.
That assumption of itself, I think, is something that actually is stupid, you shouldn't do. But yeah, like, if you make an assumption on something and then you're educated on it, if you continue to operate out of the assumption or operate out of that prejudice, because that's what it is, whatever prejudice, doesn't have things to do specifically with race. Prejudice just means predetermined judgment. If you operate out of that, that's when you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And that's when, yes, you're a bad person, get your crap together. You know, so I mean, but I like assumptions, though, because my favorite thing, and my ego doesn't like it, but my favorite thing is when people prove me wrong and I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for putting me in check. I learned something new. Awesome, I can move forward with my day. And now I have that much more respect because I sat down and learned something.
Yeah.
And it's exciting because as a little human, I crave learning. So, like, yeah. Heck yeah. I'm going to assume the shiz out of you. And then you're going to blow my mind and I will worship the ground you walk on. Like, yes. I'm not a psycho, I swear.
I would confirm that, but this is only the second day I'm out there.
Check my Instagram. Do I look crazy?
No, yeah, I think you're totally right on that. I don't even know if I have anything to add on top of that.
Aww. No, add things. Oh, what's your color? Just kidding.
No, ooh. Yeah. Shoot, my brain is getting to a point where it's getting late and I'm getting tired. Where it's,
no.
I'll, like, listen to what you're saying, but then all of a sudden it pops out. I'm like, what did you just say?
No, that's okay, because then you can tell me and I'll carry us. Okay, everyone's going to hear this. It's going to be really loud, but Star and I are going to high five. Come here. Yes!
I hope you guys heard that.
Okay, so here's a fun question. If you would pick a color for yourself. So if you met someone who was synesthetic, and if you guys don't know what that is, it's where someone sees colors if they hear a specific sound or whatever. Mm. But we hear sounds all the time. Mm-hmm. So say, for example, if I was someone who saw colors, if I heard your voice, what color would I see you as?
Ooh. Wait, you want me to answer what color? Yeah, I think what color, I see myself,
yeah,
as? Oh, shoot. So it's not just my favorite color.
No, it's just whatever color you feel like, oh, I think that I would be this color as a person. Almost like a heat-seeking thing.
Dang. I feel like it would be something like blue or green.
Uh-huh.
Like some cool color.
Like those not little like cheap cool mood rings at the like Chinese store at the corner. Little Chinko Mart.
Oh, man.
My mom called them the Chinito Mart, and I'm like, Mom, you can't just... Like, because we grew up in, like, a rural Mexican area, so they mm-hmm. put Etho on the end of everything instead of, like, Chinese Chinito. I'm like, Mom, stop. You can't just rename everything. Like, it's called Florence Mart. Chill. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I don't think I'm, like, a warm color. I think I'm a cool color, you know? That makes me sound like...
just a warm color.
I'm so
just
cool.
A cool color.
I hate that it's, like, warm and cool because, like... The minute I say, like, oh, I only like cool colors, or, like, I'm a cool color, it makes me sound so, like, very vain.
Own your confidence, Staria. Own it.
But, yeah, like, I'm always very drawn to, like, cool colors because they're very soothing to me. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, I feel like I'm a very good listener, and for some reason, cool colors and, like, soothing and listener, that all goes together in my head.
Yeah.
That's how my head
That's okay.
operating. But
that's what resonates. And your nails have, like, this cool tone.
Yeah,
tone.
I got, like, a royal blue. It doesn't look like royal blue in this lighting, though.
I call that midnight blue.
Midnight blue.
Yeah. It's like the deep, dark sky.
The deep, dark sky.
Welcome to ASMR, what society says. Oh, no. That was... I can't wait to listen to this. That's why... Okay, guys, so...
This is the worst, because I can't stop wheezing when I laugh.
My favorite noise is to get really close to my ex is my best friend. It's fine. We all know how toxic that is. Welcome to 2020. Anyways, I like to part my lips like this, like super small. This is like... You know that person who laughs when they're about to tell you a joke? That's me. You guys are welcome. This is the noise I like to make. And I've been doing that since I was like 19. Y'all, I'm 25 now. It hasn't stopped. Kid you not. Bet you. Baby fresh out of the womb. I'm going to put that baby right there next to my mouth. Ear all up close. And I'm just going to... You're super close. They're going to hate me.
Watching you get super close to the mic and, like, opening your mouth in a really weird way, I'm like, what the heck is happening?
I'm about to make out with this microphone. Get it, boo? Kidding.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Holy moly. What were we even talking about?
We're talking about colors and people being synesthetic and all that
okay,
stuff.
So where were you going with that,
Tommy? I just wanted to know.
Okay.
What color you saw yourself as? Because we were talking about... assumptions and stuff. We're gonna dive into the hippie side of things.
Yay. Wow, that was really so a much high tone. That was yes. That was like out of this body.
That was very energetic. I like that. I think you woke up a little bit.
I love hippiness.
One thing that I've always, and it doesn't happen as much now, but there was a brief time a few years ago where I frequently would see people's auras when I would speak to them or if we were like if there was like synergy between us and we were like talking about whatever I would just be aware of it. So I oftentimes like just look at people and I'm like, I wonder what their color would be. And I think it's weird because I've never been one to have those type of like physiological manifestations. Mm-hmm. Like, I never heard of, I think it's called synesthesia, the like full word, but like people who do see colors when they listen to music and stuff like that. It's just the way that their brain connects. So that's why they have that reaction.
Yeah.
And so
when I understand that, even though I'm not that person, I totally understand it, which is interesting. Yeah. By the way, I think you're yellow. I just wanted to put that out there. I hope you don't hate the color yellow.
No, I'm gonna cry. I think it is yellow.
Yeah, you have a very bright personality, and yellow is bright.
Yeah, no.
I'm like a little kid. Like, oh, you remind me of brightness. Yellow.
I thought you said, did you say Miello?
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna start calling you.
That's
that.
My
just heads up.
DJ name. Dude. Can you get one of those soundboards with different sound effects?
Oh
you
my
could
gosh.
Just I wanna do that. I wanna put laugh tracks and like clapping sounds in my podcast. Because I think it's hilarious. Oh. Yeah, I'm at that point where I'm laughing and crying and everything, but it's fine. No, I super agree. But I had a moment, and the reason why like I believe in auras is because there was a time where meditation and yoga was like very much my therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't last super long because I've evolved into other things, and I still love those as forms of like grounding and centering with myself.
But we're evolving creatures.
So also I'm an Aries, so I bounce methods because not everything is soothing to me at that time. I have mm-hmm. to use what's effective for that specific moment. But there was a time where I was reading about auras and stuff, and I thought it was baloney. Like, which is funny. Like, I thought it was true, but I thought it was baloney. And I remember reading something about aura jumping where someone could have an experience. It's kind of like how empaths talk about like dumping, where a friend comes to you and just loads their bag of shiz mm-hmm. on you, and then you feel like crap.
Yeah.
I remember in this conversation, I had a friend, we were talking, and I'm not gonna say I like visually saw it, but I was like kind of aware of it. She was upset about something, and all of a sudden she stopped, and I felt this rage enter my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why am I mad right now? I'm not upset about, like, my day was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, what just happened? And that was one of my, and I was probably in high school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of my first moments that made me realize how much of an empath I was and what that meant, why I cared so much about what other people say or like what we're talking about. Or anything with like being a quote unquote healer. I'm not trying to sound like super hippie, but for the most part, I've always been, you know, the counselor friend, the yeah. person, like, even though I talk a lot and I quote unquote seem like the person that can't listen, everyone comes to me for something. And mm-hmm. I've always very distinctly had that understanding. I just had that, like, I don't know, age old wisdom that
yeah.
was just always instilled in me. So I just think back on this experience and I'm just like, I remember like seeing this, because hers was purple mm-hmm. and she had this like black piece
mm-hmm.
and it hopped off and onto me.
Crazy.
And I don't remember what I did to get rid of it, but I was just like, has anyone else ever had an experience like that? Like, maybe if you're not so much into like the visual aspect where you can mm-hmm. see the colors or whatever, but where you're just like talking to someone and you're fine and you're just trying to listen, and then you walk away and you just feel like a freaking garbage fire. Like, you feel like you're just a piece of crap, and you're just
yeah.
like, what happened? Like, I was just trying to be a good friend.
It was like they almost literally just put like their weight on your shoulders.
Yeah. And it wasn't like they were intending to. It was just, it's like, here we go, a little
auras
miss,
are a strong thing though,
little
oh
miss
my
Christian
gosh.
Girl over here making references. I'm sorry, y'all. Not really, it's a text.
Don't be. Hey, confidence.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not, when I say, when I say sorry, I don't really mean sorry, which sounds hella shallow, but here we are. There's the tea. But, I was going to say, like, that's why they say, like, guard your heart, because it's the gateway to everything. Like, if you open up, completely to every little thing, mm-hmm. and you don't filter, you screw, girl. You, honey. You messed up.
She was peeked over at me. She was like playing peekaboo. She was like, hello, you messed up.
I'm the most fidgety person when it comes to like good conversation. So honestly, I'm sorry you guys don't get this in video form, but.
Know. Why was I not? Wait, hold up. Hold on just a second. I'm going to quickly do an Instagram while recording.
You're going to make it live?
No.
Oh.
Oh gosh, I hate when the front camera goes on and I'm like, whoa.
Ooh, she looks good. How's that chin?
Okay. All right, guys. We're currently, like, literally live right now.
Live and in stereo. Stereo.
And I just wanted to let you guys know. That's all.
Bye. Okay. You guys want to hear something weird?
Mm-hmm.
Ready? 911, what's your emergency? I used to practice that because I was like, I want to be a dispatcher. Because they all sound the same. But now that I'm older, I'm like, man, they don't actually sound the same. But I really did want to be, like, I really wanted to be that person that did the vocal recordings for, like, professional companies.
That, I actually applied for a job to be a dispatcher when I first moved to Arizona, like the first time I ever lived here.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't get the job because as I thought about it, I was like, I don't think I want to do that.
You have to go through some deep training.
Yeah.
And that's the crappy part. You get the job, you get paid, and if you don't pass the test to get the job, then you still don't have a job. You still broke. You ain't got no money. Like, I'm sorry. It's about dark 30 right now, so.
Dark 30?
Dark 30, saying? Yeah. Okay. It's a phrase. Mm, sorry. I'm ancient. I don't know what I'm doing with my hands right now. Finger guns!
Oh, man. I love this. We had a moment before recording this podcast where we realized that we're very similar, and it's just great. It's great.
Oh, man.
I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
She's a Scorpio, guys. We all know how freaking stubborn Scorpios are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't realize that Staria and I were, like, cosmic best friends because mm-hmm. she's a Scorpio and I'm an Aries. And also, while she was, first
she's
of all,
like face she is cool. With her fingers.
She's wearing pug socks. Oh, wait, she took them off.
I took them off right in front of you. I like lifted my feet up and did
she
that.
Did. Well, now they're sitting there staring at me, little pugs. Yo, pugs, they're great dogs. They're so funny and they snore and it's hilarious.
I know.
But it said that we're very similar. We both like power, but this sometime leads to conflicts between us. I'm like, look, we met each other for 2 days. We're about to spend most of our friendship apart. I think we're going to be all right. You know? If they learn to cooperate instead of fighting against each other, they can go far. Well, we already figured that out. We're on a podcast together.
Yeah, see, we're on top of this. We already know.
Aww. Aries express loyalty to their friendship fiercely, but Scorpio has a deeper devotion to their friendship. I just got dragged.
I know, I love how they, like, say Scorpios are so stubborn and dominant, but, like, they're so compassionate towards their friends. I'm like, what the? Okay. Making us look soft. I don't like that.
All right. You good? Because I was about to, like, back you up and be like, well, they say the Ories. Excuse me.
Oreos.
That's what I am. I am 63% African-American and 30-something percent because I'm not good with math. 34%. Wait.
Yeah.
Wait, I said 63.
Yeah, don't trust me.
8. Wait. 10, 9, 8, 7. 37%. Down. Y'all are going to be like, yo, how are you 25 and you can't do basic math? Let me learn y'all a little something. So I got something that's called a head injury, okay? I was in sports. I also worked at a gym. How stupid it sounds. I worked at a fitness center in my little town, and I would have to sanitize and clean the machines per mm-hmm. my job contract. I would very often stand up under a mini machine and have a metal bar above my head.
Oh my gosh!
Following that, I had a car accident.
Oh, geez.
After that, telling the doctor my symptoms, he's like, you know, you shouldn't get too many of these, even if they're minor, head injuries, because your brain can swell and, you know, you can bleed to death. It's like an aneurysm, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, sounds good. We'll do that. Cool. Last October.
Mm-hmm.
Car accident. Severe effects. Increased anxiety. I thought everyone was out to get me. I only did two sessions, but I finally decided to go to therapy because mm-hmm. I was like, and it was non-medical counseling. And I was like, do I need to be put on like Xanax or something? Like,
mm-hmm. Did you guys hear that?
We're going to pray that you didn't. I had an air bubble in my throat.
It was the protein style.
Ooh,
burgers
in and out. Anyways, yeah, I was fine. Turns out I was just stressed. And now that it's been just a little over a year,
mm-hmm.
Moving forward from that recovery, I'm finally getting back to feeling a little bit more like myself. But it's crazy how much if you damage the like stuff in your brain. I was gonna say the brain waves. I was like, but essentially that's what effect is if you damage anything in your brain, the receptors don't connect the way that they're supposed to,
mm-hmm.
and it can make you anxious, which is basically just your body constantly stuck in a fight or flight mode for reasons that aren't even natural. So anyways, enough about that. That was a whole segue. But if you guys like segues, they do sell them. About $400.
How did I know you were going to do something like that?
They're not too expensive, and they're better than hoverboards. You can go like up to, I think, like 15 miles an hour on those things. They're like scooters, but you can do it with, like, there's no handlebars on them. That you just control them with your knees. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh, I'm too clumsy. There's no way.
They're not as bad as you think.
I want to do that for videos, though. Because, so I ride, like, little, like, you know, the old school, like, Razor scooters. I have one in the back of my car at all times. But, like, I can't film and do that because you have to hold on to the handlebars or else you're going down.
Yeah.
But I want to find something that moves that I feel comfortable on because I can't ride a skateboard at all. So.
Mm-hmm. So. So my nervous tic is I like to play with my curls. I'm going to give you guys a visual of what I look like. I don't know if Sari is ever going to post a picture of my face.
I mean, I just put you on my story.
Okay, so there's that. But I'm African-American, so I have, if you know anything about curly hair, I have about a 3C curl pattern, which means it's coily, but it's not very tight and coarse or anything like that. I have fine textured hair, so it kinks, but it's very soft and thin and it breaks easy. But I like to pull at my curls and elongate them just because it feels nice.
Honestly looks nice. I love when you do that. Sounds weird.
Well, because I will like twirl them and then I'll play with them, so
yeah,
it's fun. But back to you.
That all happened because I gave her a really weird look. Because she was, like, moving her body and twirling her hair. And I was like, okay.
Well, part of it, too, is every time... So, you can hear the hair breaking. And so, because I know this mic that I'm using is high quality, anytime I do anything that requires a heavy noise, and I'm gonna do it anyway, mm-hmm. I lean back. And I hope that it doesn't get picked up. So, if you guys hear anything, it's just Miel fidgeting. She's got undiagnosed adult ADHD. You're welcome.
There you go. Okay, well, I'm going to ask you two questions.
Oh.
All right, are you ready for this?
I'm so ready.
These questions are not relevant to anything we've talked about today, so just random questions.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the first one is, and I'll kind of explain my question afterwards for in case it's confusing.
Okay.
How do you feel about the concept of constantly staying busy? And I mean that in a way where... A lot of people have come to me saying, like, on their days off, they feel like they can't really take a day off.
Grand culture.
they have to keep doing something, especially if you're scrolling on social media and seeing everybody.
Let me talk to you about it.
Please do.
Okay. So, I am a busybody. Mm-hmm. When I was a young lass, and lad is the male one, but, or the masculine one.
It's 2020. People can identify with us whatever they want. So,
my mom was a single mom, so she was chronically busy. My sister, the time that I met her, she was already in college, and I didn't know this until much later, but she had almost flunked out of community college. Well, she did. She, like, they put on academic probation, and she had to work her way back up. Now she's got a master's degree, so obviously she kicks some butt. Mm-hmm. But because of their example, I was very aware of the work that I needed to do to maintain that family standard, even though it was expected of me, but at the same time, it wasn't necessarily pressed. Mm-hmm. Even ever since I was little, my mom would. It was stress-induced. Like, to this day, I tell my mom, I wish just for once you would have just made the decision, some of those decisions for me. Like, I hate that you gave me the option to make those decisions. And some kids are like, my parents were so strict, they never let me. Like, my mom was strict on stuff. Like, we couldn't do Halloween. Mm-hmm. Went to church on Sunday. You know, chores had to be done. Like, the basic stuff. You had to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Like, basic standards. But if I missed an assignment, up to me. And, like, she didn't force me to maintain any grade point average and stuff like that. And on certain things like that. And my mom is a queen. And I, to this day, tell them, like, Mom, you did a fantastic job. Like, I know I'm, like, in debt. And sometimes I gotta have Mama bail me out. Because I'm like, Mom, look, I get paid on this day. But this is due right now. Can you help? Look, I'll Venmo you. If you Venmo me now, I will Venmo you on Friday. Could you not? But, yeah. Shoot, what was the question?
It's about
grant culture.
Feeling like, yeah, you have to
gotcha.
Be busy.
Yeah, I was like, I swear, sometimes I just need a note to be like, that's what I'm talking about. But because of that, that and then when I was in foster care, they were trying to treat me for ADHD. And what they put me on, I think it was Ritalin, which if you put anyone on Ritalin, it turns you into a zombie.
Yeah.
It zonks you out, and my mom took me off of it, and she went with the good old natural, I will whip that ass if you don't calm down.
Yeah.
And it tamed me. It, like, she basically said, you know, she's six. If she's hyper, which, like, most children are, they're just trying to play. Mm-hmm. You don't need to make them sit in a corner and, yes, no, like,
yeah,
they're not robots. She's like, I'll send her outside, or I'll just teach her to control those urges or whatever the, you know, mm-hmm. That's a different topic. We'll talk about it off the podcast. But from that, I've just always been very aware, which is why they say for fidgety kids, dance is a wonderful thing because it helps those physical manifestations go out. But for me, it changed into, because I was never really good at school, it changed into me just being busy in general as a young adult. I have to have several jobs at all times. I can't have just one. If I have just one, I kid you not, I get bored and I self-sabotage that job because I start overdoing that job to the point where I'm no longer performing, and I either do something that messes it up, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy, whatever, or it's just whatever. Mm-hmm. I just don't like it. I want to do something else. And it's just, it's kind of crazy that you get all these examples, because like I said, my mom was a single mom, so she raised all of us by herself, so she was just always constantly busy. Mm-hmm. Even on her days off, she's like, I want to organize this, or I want to do this. Now my mom has like a very good concept of rest, which I had to learn what that was for me. She would read. So growing up, I loved reading, because it was my moment to mentally escape from all these daunting tasks that as a kid, I saw, I need to do all of this now. And that, I feel like that's where grind culture comes from, or busy culture, or like the state of constantly being busy comes from. We grow up and we see college, have a family, have a car, do loans, pay off your loans, sign up for a savings plan, do this, do that. But make sure you also travel the world and that you learn how to cook and you learn how to be a good person, but also support the gays and all this stuff. Like, you need to be doing everything now because life is happening now. And if you don't do it all now, you're going to miss it. And that's when FOMO kicks in, which I have a hard time dealing with because there have been so many times, and this is directly related to why busyness is hard for me too. When I was younger, I assumed that most of my classmates hated me. I know, sorry, if you guys are listening to this, thank you for being so patient and listening to this long AF story, but I thought my classmates hated me, so for the longest time, I went to my first party when I was 18. And when I walked in, and this is how I knew, wow, I sold myself the idea that I didn't matter, and it was my fault. But at the same time, nobody stepped in to tell me, no, we don't hate you. But that's the caveat. You don't know until you know.
Yeah.
But I walked into this party. People were playing beer pong. Whatever. We lived in a little redneck town. You know, they were chucking beers back in like 8th grade. A lot of kids told me they had their first beer at 8th grade. Dad gave it to me. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I walked in and they're like, oh, Niel is here. And I was like, fudge. You mean to tell me my whole high school experience was filled with doubt and anxiety and not really mastering any friends and just keeping myself busy doing all of this stuff, trying to meet people, and really I had acceptance sitting right here.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what busyness turns into as an adult. We spend all this time trying to do everything that we don't just take a step back and we aren't just present with ourselves. And we're like, I have exactly what I need right here.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and I know that's like such a profound thing to say. And for some people, like, yeah, I know. Nah, bullshit. Because if you knew, you would stop shoving yourself into every little microchasm that you can shove yourself into for the sake of, I don't want to miss out, or I want to do this. I care about this. You can have hobbies. You can have passions. You can have projects. But one of the biggest things that year 25 has taught me, I turned 26 April 15th, so that's a few more months. One of the biggest things 25 have taught me is rest.
Yeah.
Just rest. Take a back seat. What you're doing on those days when you are working is absolutely enough and exactly enough to the point where it is going to move you forward in the growth. But part of you maintaining just maintaining a personality or like being your own person or maintaining yourself as an adult is taking 5 seconds to step back and looking at what you're doing and being like, okay, this is good. Kind of like a painter.
Yeah.
You're working on your masterpiece, your life. If you keep overpainting it, it's like a girl putting on makeup. If you never stop, you look horrible. Because you put so much on, you don't even look like you anymore.
Yeah.
Same thing with your life. If you are constantly doing so many things that you don't step back and be like, this is good. You don't even have to love it. You don't have to. Eventually, you'll figure out what you love or don't love, and you'll, like, fine-tune what is worth your time and what isn't. But if you don't take 5 seconds to step back and evaluate why the hell you're doing something, you're just doing shit to do it. And that is a waste of a life right there.
Yeah.
That was deep-ish.
No, I'm so glad.
My bad, y'all.
I think it's so, so, so important to rest. I mean, I'm, like, this hippie girl and, like, yoga and, like, meditation, blah, blah, blah.
My
piece of advice to anyone that's listening is, I guess I'll just share like what I'm trying to do because I don't know, I try to be very present with myself as much as I can, and it's a really, really hard thing to do. But I've decided that Sundays are like a day that is just dedicated to my husband and family, and that's it. Like, I'm not going to work. If I want to edit, it's just because I want to do that, not because I need to. And and the other thing is that every morning I try to spend like the first couple hours just doing like what I need to start like set the tone of my day, you know, and not like keep myself busy. If it means I just sit in bed and watch like 2 episodes of my favorite show, then cool, that's what I'm gonna do, you know. It's my form of resting, and I like how you like mentioned that, you know, it's everybody has like different ways of resting, and I think that's important to realize.
One of my really, really good friends, one of my exes, I love his method of study. He can, and this, I don't know if it's just something to do with LDS people, but they can hole up and study for like a hobgoblin's worth of hours, which that phrase makes no sense, but welcome to my vocabulary. And he'll just take a minute that, like, when he's eating, he pulls up an episode of whatever, or he'll watch a YouTube video on something that he loves because he's super into music and like editing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He'll pull up a video about a different sound filter that makes something in a song or whatever, or he'll read, like, you know, like, his thing is dedicating time to things that are soothing to him, which is creating.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's looking at a world outside of your phone, which is a lot of what, like, TV is, because you're getting immersed into someone else's story, and that kind of helps you take a breather from your own narrative inside your head. For me, I used to read a ton, and I love fantasy books. I know people are like, oh, we hate Twilight, but like, I love like vampires and crap. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't a huge fan of Vampire Diaries because it was just it has to be teenager for me to like be hooked into it. And that wasn't enough teenage, like, whatever. So like Chilling Adventures of Sabrina has been my jam. It's really funny. Or like rom-coms, or like I love independent films. Like, there's this really, really dope, you should watch it, full recommend for anyone. It's this independent film called XXY on Netflix. It's super old, it's Argentinian, it's dubbed. It's about this intersex child that was born, and they live on an island, and they're at that point in puberty where they have to decide which physical manifestation of like genitalia they're going to keep moving forward, because they have both. So what they, it's kind of interesting, but I don't want to spoil it, but I'm gonna spoil it, but like
the cool, just anybody listening, we're gonna spoil it
just real quick. The cool thing was, I think the girl, which for the most of the time she had been taking suppressants, because for anyone who knows anything about transgender children, the male characteristics are the most strong, so in order to give a child time, especially if they're intersex, to decide instead of you deciding for them, which is honestly the better thing, it's, I know it's traumatic, but sometimes it's better to just let people decide who they want to be. 2020, you're welcome. I think they decided to stick with a male sex. I don't know if that's the right term, but I think that would be it.
I think so.
But he, by the end of it, was attracted to men because he had a thing for the doctor's son. And the doctor didn't know that the son was gay and would make comments and stuff like that. And all of this stuff is going on, and there's a scene where, like, the schoolboys find out that this character for most of the movie who was being referenced to as a girl and all this stuff and looking female, they like saw her on the beach and like pulled her pants down because they wanted to look at it, they wanted to see what she looked like below the waist because she had both and they didn't know what that was. And I think I watched that when I was like, which sounds crazy, I was like 14, but it was so profound that I just never forgot that. It's laid out, y'all. It's sad boy hours right now. I almost teared up thinking about that. But it was just, it was so gut-wrenching because I've had my own experiences where I have been put on like the laughing block for whatever thing that I physically couldn't control because that's how I was manifested in the womb. Here I am now. Blah, 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 blah. I do feel like in society it's easier to decide those things now, but what were we talking about?
Oh man, I don't even remember.
I don't remember. We were talking about something with like being busy. Oh, rest.
Rest.
Rest. That's right. That's what it was. TBH, I think. And I'm not trying to end this episode, but I do think it's time for us.
Yeah, it is.
It's time for us to rest. But I'm down to come back and talk some more about different stuff. For sure. But
wait, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, like, you know, if you like being busy, for some people that is their sanity. That is their soothing, is having things to do. I just think it's beneficial to have a few key things a part of that. If you do want to be busy, great, that's fine. But outside of your busyness, make sure you have something that's physically soothing, and having something that's emotionally soothing.
Yeah.
If for you, that's being someone who chronically exercises, like if you're a gym rat, good for you, duder. Like, congratulations. If for emotions, if you're like me and you like listening to music or dancing, or if you like watching old independent films that like tug on your heartstrings about topics that you could never fathom understanding, mm-hmm. Do those things and it will help. It doesn't pay off to be lazy, like, no offense, but like, the hobo's not a lucrative lifestyle anymore. You could try to be a hippie, but man, just know that it's okay to be still, mm-hmm. and that stillness isn't weakness.
Oh, heck no. It takes a lot, actually, especially yeah. in today's society with social media and everything. Like, usually when we're still, we tend to go on our phones and we see everybody else doing all these things, mm-hmm. and that doesn't mean that you have to be doing something right then and there. Like, you can stop. Even I recommend putting the phone down.
Put the phone down. You know what helps? Turn it off.
Heck yeah. I actually want to get to the point where on Sundays I can literally turn my phone off. And, you know, like, that's my day. I know I have off from, like, my day job and I don't ever schedule anything. I'm like, turn the phone off.
Fun fact. So I mentioned Screen Time, Astaria. But what they have is they have, because it's kind of like a parental control thing. If you have a family plan and you own the access to all of your kids' phones, mm-hmm. A lot of parents will do that with apps so that their kids don't go over social media time, just so that they can, like, learn to manage their digital footprint.
Yeah.
But one thing, and I'll see if she does this. You guys can keep her accountable, but there's a passcode lock. So what you can do is mm-hmm. you can tell Angel to put a passcode lock on your phone, so, and then set up the timing on that day so that all your social media apps shut off from, I don't know, like 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sundays.
Yeah.
And when you try to go open the app, it'll ask for a password, but you don't know it. He does. And that way, at least your partner in your marriage, which, because guys, if you're in relationships or partnerships, mm-hmm. have your partner keep you accountable. And that's yeah. great, because then that deepens the intimacy and intimacy in and of itself. But that's something you can try, and that way you can still have your phone for phone calls and stuff like that.
That's true, because you never know if there's like an emergency or something.
Yeah, and I don't think the app itself, I don't think it shuts off the phone aspect, but it shuts off the database, like music, all this other stuff. It shuts it all off so that it's yeah. just you and then that way, because I tried to do that, but because I knew my passcode, I would just unlock it myself.
Yeah,
so it would be an easy way. Or you can have your mom or your sister, somebody who's not near you, who'd be like, okay, fine, like, who would budge,
you know. I feel like I have to say this. I think I can't have someone hold me accountable. I think I'm just that person. I have to do it myself. And I think, you know, I'm gonna say it now, it's on the podcast now, I am going to try to just do it myself.
Yeah.
Sundays, I think the only reason the only time, like, I'll have my phone there for in case there's an emergency or anything, because I would hate if I missed something very important. But the only time I'm allowing myself to go on my phone on Sunday is to make my daily posts on Instagram, because that's a goal that I have, is to post every day, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know.
Well, you could also prepare those posts the day before.
That's true. I think I need to find, like, a app that I like and
do auto posts.
Yeah,
it's kind of illegal.
It's illegal.
It goes against the Instagram agreements. So some people do it, but it's technically not allowed, because someone else shouldn't be running your account, but so many people do it these days.
I honestly don't mind just going on there, because I also kind of want to write what I feel in the moment too. Yeah, so
do what feels good for you.
Yeah,
that's the purpose of this podcast. Do what works for you, and it's okay if you don't have it figured out. There are 50-year-olds and 80-year-olds who either don't know or they don't give a rip.
Yep.
Perks of age. You just stop caring. You're just like, F it. I'm going to go jump off a bridge for fun. Safety.
For fun.
There's going to be a thing on my back. What is that called? Parachute. It's time to go. I love you guys.
Jetpack. I'm like, what jetpack?
Jetpacking today. All right, guys. I need to go. I'm at Staria's house anyway. And
We're gonna end this, because I think it's been a while. So thank you so much for listening, everybody, to another podcast episode with Society Says.
Thank you so much for coming on, Miel. How can people find you?
I am on Instagram at Peace Love Harm. That's two M's at the end, not like self-harm. My last name is Harmon. It's a play on words. Yes, high school me made a cool username for once. Or if you guys want to check out my podcast, because Starian and I are going to be talking on there for sure. It's called Harmony Please. It's PLS, not the full word, please. And yeah, they're on Instagram. I hope to see you, and Staria is my new BGF, so we gonna be hanging, or at least FaceTiming and bouncing ideas off of each other, because we're gonna be far apart.
Heck yeah. Anyway, I hope you guys have a lovely rest of your day or night, whatever time you guys are deciding to listen to this really long episode. But hey, like I said, I love long episodes, so hopefully you're on the same boat. If you're not, you're not listening anymore, so... All right, guys, have a great night. We gotta end this. See ya.
Bye.